Oh, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 810 of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. I'm your host, Christian Piles. Joined today, no Ben Askren, but we got our regular Wednesday guest. Shane Sparks is here. James Dean Rader is here. And we are ready to rock on a fine Wednesday, a Taco Wednesday here at Flow Sports headquarters, where Shane is not, but he will be hopefully in August for the group meeting. Are you coming in for that, for the offsite?
I am definitely coming in August. Looking forward to it. I've never been to the new headquarters, so I'm looking forward to seeing that palace.
Let's go. Yeah, palatial indeed.
I'll immediately be taking the elevator to the top floor to visit your guys' office.
It's pretty sweet. Yeah, we're still first floor here at the Springdale office, but yeah, absolutely. Hey, well, so we got a good bit to get to here. Odds and ends for sure. This is the 810 area code, 810 show, which is East/Central Michigan. And someone asked, I don't know if you typed this in there, who's the best wrestler from this area?
That was not me. It was Tyler.
Tyler put that in there. So Tyler's not even producing the show, but he's still hard at work in the document. I don't know the area codes
Ben
in Michigan.
Bennett. To start the game, unfortunately, guys, I was going to come in and say it's time to have an Emmy award-winning show. Looking for that perfect broadcast. Looking for that perfect baseball game. It took three pitches for a ground ball to go through my legs at shortstop. So perfect game is out the window. But my question is, you guys mentioned, say, Central Michigan.
Yeah.
Jason Benetti is the play-by-play voice of the Chicago White Sox.
Okay.
And on Twitter, he'll put pictures of baseball stadiums, and he'll always ask, who is the first person you think of? And it's so simple, but I love when he does it. So when you guys say Central Michigan, in my mind, I'm like, who's the first Chippewa I think of? I had 1-2 real quick. I'll ask you guys. So you guys, when I say Central Michigan wrestling, what's the first thing you think about?
Well, I think one of the first guys I remember watching a lot was actually Scotty Sentez for Central Michigan.
Okay, I remember watching him.
Because he had this crazy style. He was really tall, really good on top.
What about you, JD?
Central Michigan?
Yep.
The college, or like
he's saying the college.
The college,
yeah,
Cunningham.
College. I say Central Michigan wrestling. What's the first thing you think about?
Casey Cunningham.
Same with me.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, to me, I went Casey Cunningham, and then immediately a split second, then I went Ben Bennett. If I'm thinking Central Michigan, bam, 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 Casey Cunningham, Ben Bennett, Tom Borelli. Oh,
Ben
that's
Bennett.
Where I'm going.
Four-time All-American.
Absolute. If I remember, I mentioned Scott Sentis because he was a Florida kid.
Yeah.
I went to the Virginia Beach Senior Nationals in 2008. It's the first time I went there. And if I remember right, both Sentis and Bennett, and I could be wrong on this, but I think that's the first time I saw both of those guys. And they were – Ben Bennett was – man.
He was good.
He was spectacular. God, was he good. Tough.
And I guess I didn't think of, or not that I didn't think of Cunningham, but it's like I didn't really watch him, didn't get to watch him much at all.
Back when did he win a title? 99, maybe?
Something like that.
And I think he won his title inside the Bryce Jordan Center, I think.
Oh, that would be an interesting twist.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, I think you're right.
And I could be wrong.
Against Penn State's Clint Musser.
And I think,
full circle.
I think Cody, did Cody lose that year? Was Cody a runner-up that year?
Cody was definitely a runner-up. I don't know.
I think it was that same year, because I always thought it was ironic that it was Bryce Jordan Center with you know all those guys in the mix.
Yeah, very interesting. So, yeah, I don't know much about the East Central Michigan area, like what's in the thing, but I would assume like –
Is Davison
is like that Flint area where KJ is from. So there's some hammers. You got Brent, you got Reeder, you got Donahoe. I said Brent. Sorry, I should have just said Metcalf. And then of course Kevin Jackson, Olympic champion, probably the best wrestler from the area, I would imagine. I don't know the comprehensive list of people from that area, but it's a pretty good one. Other odds and ends, a guy not from Michigan, a guy from Pennsylvania, Keith Gavin. He got his contract extended through 2027. Gavin seems to be doing a great job there at Pitt, and congrats to him getting the extension there. Do you have a Keith Gavin story, Shane?
I got one Keith Gavin story. I believe it was Askren and this stuff all runs together.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember right, all I remember is somehow, some way, and I thought I was with Askren. I thought I stayed at Askren's house on overnight once because we were traveling to Cornell for some event the next day. And it was some kind of broadcast. I don't even remember exactly what it was on. I just remember I had to go pick up Keith from the airport. I never met him. And this is probably 10 years ago. I never met him. And I mean, cripes, he's, you know, probably close to 10 years younger than I am, but I'm still like intimidated because it's Keith Gavin and he's such a, you know, he's a hammer.
Yeah.
And him and I then went out to dinner together at this restaurant. I think we both had spaghetti. I thought he had spaghetti, but I just remember he was super cool. Like Keith Gavin. I mean, he put the C in cool. I mean, he is, I really like him. I think Keith Gavin to me, he's probably, I mean, our personalities, I'm pretty loud. He's not, you know, I mean, at least he's so cool. I wish I had a couple of teaspoons of Keith Gavin's coolness in me because he's just so laid back. I bet he's, I mean, obviously he's doing a phenomenal job at Pitt. I think they're as good as they've done. I think they're obviously their best days are ahead. He's awesome.
They're recruiting really well.
And it's just
really
great to see a guy like that. I mean, he's a wrestling coach. He knows what he's doing. And of course, you think about Keith Gavin, the best arm drag you've ever seen.
He was the best I've seen collegiately. Right now, the arm drag throne belongs in Russia with Abiskadze. But yes, Keith could drag from.
You guys
just
have
about
any Keith
everywhere.
Stories?
No, just a really cool guy. Yep. I got to know
school
him a little.
Came out of retirement.
Oh yeah, that's right. I liked. He was at UVA for a little bit there when I lived in Virginia. So
okay,
had a couple trips there. So yeah, no, just a
big fan.
Very
big fan. I mean, this wrestling's got so many great. If you said to me, "Hey, I'll give you $1 million for a coach you don't like," I wouldn't have any money. I just everybody's awesome.
Oh, please. I'd have some money.
I like to. Hey, speaking of coaches, everybody's got to check out the Jordan Lean Bader show. That was great too.
Another
guy.
Watch,
you guys watch that?
No, not yet.
It was good. Jordan Lean tells a story about a guy that he's now friends with, who took his starting job at shortstop, his starting job at quarterback, and of course, last but not least, stole his girlfriend as well. And now he's friends with a guy. Great
wow.
Story. Check it out.
That'd be tough. So
you
Tom
guys have
Brands.
One of those guys? You guys have a guy like that in your life that just kind of took everything you had?
No.
Nope.
And not JD. JD was that guy.
I was about to say.
Both about a bunch of people, it'd be like, where JD went to college or high school, JD's name would come up. He was that guy.
Yeah. My wife had a boyfriend when I met her, so maybe I was partially that guy.
So how did you get in there?
Oh, I mean, it's just, I don't know. It wasn't too hard. We were both working at a church camp together and, yeah, I don't know.
Let me rephrase that. Of
yeah,
course,
I don't
mean,
know.
How did you steal her away? There we go. That's what I meant.
I mean, it was sort of obvious. We definitely had a connection pretty early on there and she went back to college with him. And I mean, within weeks they were done and we were dating. Kind of let nature run its course there.
Do all great shows. You think about like Saturday Night Live. Hey, we got a great show. Stick around. Pearl Jam is here. Whatever else.
Yeah.
Flow Wrestling Live needs like some kind of musical. I mean, you kind of got Hall & Oates with JD here, right? I mean, it's almost
making our dreams come true.
But your wife is such a great singer. You should bring her onto the show once and have her sing. Little known fact: Christian Pyle's wife. Can is such a good singer. She'll choke you up. That's how good she is. I heard her sing a song on social media. It was like Easter, and I got choked up. It was beautiful. So
yeah.
You should bring her on sometime. And let her sing because it's great.
Yeah, she is extremely, extremely, extremely talented. For
very
sure.
Good.
Shout out Katie. I know you're not listening. Okay, seamless transition from my wife's vocal abilities to the Iowa lineup, which we had a pretty strong idea for some of this position. Some of there were question marks. Tom Brands at the golf outing?
Yep, Hawkeye Wrestling Club.
Basically put it out there, so we're going to talk about it. First, JD, just your overall thoughts on Coach Brands and his and the prospective lineup.
Nothing's really exciting. It's pretty much what we thought it was going to be. Of note, Ayala wasn't mentioned, so that's maybe telling he's going to redshirt, which we speculated anyways with the return of Spencer Lee.
And I wonder how much of that is, well, obviously Spencer, but the other is like how healthy is he, you know? Because he's someone where, you know, is Spencer going to be on a pitch count is my question. And if so, in a big duel, do you maybe throw out Drake in one of the big duels instead of Spencer? Or is Spencer just going to like hit the big duels and then it'll be Jesse Ibarra that's the main guy for 125? Or
he did mention
Jesse. So Jesse was mentioned.
You have to be a freshman, right, guys, on that new you know, when he can wrestle four duels. That's only for freshmen only, correct? Like you couldn't throw
Actually, that's a good point.
Out there twice a year and not
have a
burden.
Yeah, that's a good point, Shane.
You have to be a true freshman.
Yeah, he's not a true freshman. He'd be a red. Well, I guess he'd
that's
be a
weird
sophomore
stipulation.
Because if you wrestle right, because if you go right away, then.
Because I think the whole point of the rules was to like acclimate freshmen better to the college.
Yeah.
Student athlete lifestyle.
I think anyone with
which is fun, but what they really need is just, I mean, on its surface, that's great what they're doing, and I get it. But let's be honest, it's just about making dual meet wrestling in college. You don't want forfeits. It's so embarrassing, and I know there's reasons for it. I get it. There's reasons for it. You can, I think it is the it makes me cringe. Division I wrestling, and there are forfeits.
Embarrassing.
Come on.
It's embarrassing.
It's so bad.
Well, my question has always been, what are all these people on the team for then? What do you have all these guys? You got teams with four or five guys at one weight or the weight below, and you don't use any of them. You'll throw out a body. What is literally the worst? Someone gets pinned.
Yeah.
Like it looks like a joke when you can't field a full team, and you can give me all the reasons. I just think it comes down to the coach's failure at some level. At some level, you did not construct your roster properly. You did not make the right choices in your what in some way you messed up. If you can't field a full team, and so this should help that. I do think if you do have a redshirt available, you should get the five matches where you can be used. Like if you're in redshirt, like Drake Ayala is a perfect example. Someone, he's redshirting this year, but he should be able to get thrown in there, if only to just like give more depth to these teams and higher quality depth as well. The idea that someone could wrestle in one dual meet and an entire year of eligibility be gone makes no sense. How does that make any sense? Because like college football, they can play in four or five games. And they can maintain the redshirt. I don't think it's regardless if they are freshmen or not. So anyway, so 25 Spencer, the biggest question for 125 for Iowa is how much Spencer will we see and how soon will we see him? Is he going to be someone wrestling in November out the gate, or is it going to be second semester, or is it just going to be here and there and a very limited match count? Just a lot of questions. You're seeing him. He's on social media a decent amount. You're seeing him on Instagram. He's doing all these pull-ups. I forget how heavy the pull-up he did was, but it was like 150 pounds.
It was heavy.
It was heavy.
I'd love to feel his strength if I knew I wouldn't get hurt, but I know I'd get hurt. He has got to be just ungodly strong.
Freak.
Like
total freak. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, what is it like when he gets your wrist? Because so many wrestlers can get your wrist, and that's sort of it. And then, holy, yeah, it's just
speaking of wrist, guys, I might have told this story once before. You just talk about, like, random wrestling things you've learned, just completely random that make you, you know, like, damn. I remember once, 2000, I've probably told this story before, but it makes me think about Spencer, probably pretty similar. 2011 NCAA's Robles and McDonough. That morning was doing the broadcast with Mark McKnight, who wrestled at Penn State, and he had wrestled Robles at some point. So I asked him a question about Robles, like, what is something Robles does that, you know, most people don't know about, or some kind of question along those lines. And he said, Anthony Robles is so strong that when he gets that wrist, he'll squeeze it, and it doesn't take long where you can't feel your hand anymore. Like, he'll numb your whole hand.
Well, they said that about Gable when he would just even do like a bicep tie, inside tie, okay. Like your arms would go numb.
I mean, that would suck.
Some people got that freaky next level strength. Spencer's one of them. Robles one of them.
Yeah.
Danny Matt Gable.
Danny Hodge allegedly had like extra tendons in his hands.
Oh, is that one of the
extra tendons?
Literally just bucked human anatomy. Just did its own thing with Danny Hodge. Forfeits are bad. Handstrick is wonderful. 33 looks like Colin Shriver going to be the guy there. That was sort of assumed. He had some pretty nice moments in redshirt. He gave Austin DeSanto a relatively competitive match at
the Luther Open.
The Luther Open. So there's some excitement around Shriver. Now you look at 133 pounds. Where is he likely fit in that pecking order? Obviously, Dayton and RBY are the class of that weight class, and there's some other really tough guys. But is he someone that can sneak into the round of 12 on the podium? I think that's definitely a possibility. What are your prognostications about Colin, JD?
He's got a ways to go, I think, before he's really pushing for All-American, but definitely national qualifier type guy. I think right now, if I had to make a prediction, it's a 1-2 at NCAAs.
Yeah. Thinking about, you know, he wrestled Lucas Bird in the duel. It was pretty one-sided for Lucas. That's the fourth-ranked guy. Then you've got Ragusan, Cannon, Philippi is back forever. That was part of the contract. I think they extended him through 2027 as well. Yeah. Keith and Mickey Philippi. So congrats to both. Long-term deals at Pitt. This is a deep weight, man, though. I thought Brian Courtney was gone after this year. But he's for Virginia. Ravon Foley, Michael Colioco at 11. So this is a pretty deep weight class. So he's going to have some work to do to find his way on the podium.
He did beat Biscaglia last year. So
speaking of wrists.
Yeah, Biscaglia will grab and not let go.
He will not let go.
I forget exactly what he did postseason, but that shows you he like I said, he's definitely already national qualifier level. Probably he's going to have to improve a little bit if he wants to get on the podium.
Yes. So, but he's in a good place to improve for lightweights, that's for sure. 141, obviously, Real Woods is the man there, and he could definitely be a national champion this year at 141. I mean, and coming into last year, other than Nick, you know, it was a lot deeper. Now it lost so much firepower.
That's the weight that cleared out the most.
The most. I mean, it's stark how different that was. And then you had the number one guy, Willits, was the highest returning placer. He's gone. Mm-hmm. So then Cole Matthews, Pitt, number one. He'll be the top-ranked guy, and I think Real is two or three. But obviously winnable weight for them. And one where if they want to push for a high podium, they're going to need Real Woods to place high.
Yeah. He might be my preseason pick to win it.
He'll be mine. Yeah, I'm sure I will. Yeah. Though Cole Matthews can just post it as bulletin board material because he should probably be the consensus pick based on just how he looked overall this year.
Plus, good offseason, 1U23s.
Yes, yep. He continues to improve. Max Murin, Shane's guy, 149. Yep. Arachi did get a mention there at 49.
He got mentioned at both 49 and 57. But
it's hard.
Seems like he would have a better chance.
If Murin's coming back, and if yes. It's really hard to envision him not starting. But, you know, after his performance at NCAAs, I'm, you know, similar. Is he going to be able to get on the podium again?
This is the year for Mirren to get on.
Well, I mean, he got on before, right?
No.
Did he lose in the round of 12 to in the 2021 season? Yeah. He got booed.
I think he's a three-time. Is he three-time round of 12?
Three-time round of 12.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Four-time qualifier.
Oh, my gosh. Yep.
Mirren is on the loose, telling you.
He got Milner'd bad. That's right. Milner is freaking tough. He rode him, like, really for, like, that was one of the matches that happened literally right in front of us. It was not competitive. So, yeah, if this is the year, he's got to do it. But he certainly can. He's beaten a lot of good guys. He's beaten many All-Americans in his career. Just has to put it together. 57 is definitely going to be the biggest question mark weight for Iowa. Not just in who's going to wrestle, but the performance. It's going to be probably a very long shot for them to place it this weight, at least with the guys here. Caleb Ratchy, Kobe Seabrick, Brett Lee Reyna. None of these three have shown they're ready to push, although Ratchy had some nice moments at trials for U20s, I believe.
He
beat Cody Chittum.
But then he lost to Chittum on the backside.
Yes.
In the county semis.
He also lost to Cody Chittum at the Southern Scuffle. So they've wrestled a lot for a guy that's still in high school. But yeah, there's nothing really from his redshirt year. He didn't beat anyone of note, and he lost to Chittum. So it's hard to say. And he looks like he might be the front runner to take that spot, at least right now.
Yeah, probably him or Reyna.
Yeah, Brett Lee Reyna out of Florida. How did he do last year, Brett Lee? So he was. 50,
who does 57 have? Is Penn State, is that Bearclaw at 57?
Okay. Yep. So Bearclaw is back. We talked about him a good bit. So Brett Lee beat Vince Turk last year. He beat, that's sort of it. He lost to Gavin Sachs, John Arseri. So, yeah, maybe it's going to be a tough road at 157 for Iowa. That seems likely. But then 65, the long-awaited debut, but the time he'll be the full guy for good, Patrick Kennedy. This guy, prediction here, this is going to be a Shane Sparks favorite because this guy is tough, in-your-face, hard hand fighter, no breaks. He is just like prototypical Iowa style guy. His mount returning, I'm not as sure of, but he's going to hand fight
out. Hey, man, tell you what, you know, when I think about mat returns in the last, I mean, and it's, you know, top of mind because it's not that long ago, but Iowa and Penn State, both those teams are so good. I mean, Iowa is the obvious, you watch an Iowa duel and it's obvious mat returns. But when I think back to that national tournament last year, mat returns at critical times. Wish I had a highlight video what Penn State did in winning national titles last year with mat returns.
Well, it was Aaron Brooks beat Miles Amin with straight mat wrestling.
Absolutely.
Incidentally.
Yeah, which no one was predicting that. I mean, it was just not on the – I don't think it was on the Michigan radar at all that he was going to put that much effort into riding.
RBY is another one. When RBY has to, he's so sexy and slick on his feet. Nobody's going to deny that.
Yeah.
But when he needs to put the hard hat on and do the grind work in the trenches, RBY is as good as anybody.
They love that.
RBY, I'm telling you, that guy, when it's all said and done, he can be in those Mount Everest conversations, I think. That's how good he is.
I think he can because he's got this extremely rare neutral ability that you just don't see that puts you in a match with everyone. There's no one that's going to drastically outclass him from the neutral position, right? And there have been a lot of great 33s. But, yeah, I wonder who do we think is, like, the best 33 of the last? Like, him versus – man, imagine him versus 2011 Jordan Oliver, who is maybe, for me, one of the best 33s I can recall.
Who'd he beat in 11? Hochstrasser?
Yes. Yes. And then, of course, Logan beats him the next year.
Yeah.
According to most. So, but that's still a match very much in dispute. So, yeah, I mean, I think Roman, yeah, he could definitely be on that short list for some of the most exciting 33s.
Guys, let me throw this in there, and I hate to do this, but I'll forget if I wait 2 minutes because I can't remember anything. Is there any chance that Dayton Fix goes 25? We're talking about Spencer Lee. We're talking about Roman Bravo Young, 33, 25. Is there any chance he goes down to 25? Is that being talked about, or is that just social media rumor mill?
Well, I didn't know that was out there on social. It was definitely something in years past that was brought up, and I think even internally was thought of as an option for Dayton. I think he even spent time in his redshirt year at 125. It's just I think ultimately it's not going to happen because I think for their lineup it doesn't make as much sense.
And I don't think it. You know why else it doesn't happen? I don't think there's any way in hell Dayton Fix. I mean, that's all he wants, right? He's got to go 133. He's got to beat RBY.
Our man JD Rader talked with Dayton about that very thing, and he was glad that Roman was coming back. So
yeah.
I don't think there's any scenario he goes up or down. I mean, honestly, it would make more sense for Oklahoma State if he went up. I mean, to be fair, if he went 41, I'd pick him to win that weight class right now, Dayton Fix. And then you could get Carter Young down at 33, a weight that probably makes more sense for him. At least it would have last year.
Not anymore. He went up to 65. Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe not. But, I think Dayton stays at 33. He tries to solve that RBY puzzle. So, yeah, I don't see him moving up because you don't want to throw Mastro out at 25. So it just makes sense for him to wrestle. Okay, so Patrick Kennedy at 65.
Man, who would you feel worse for? Dayton becoming a four-time finalist, never champ, or Max Mirren becoming a four-time round of 12?
Dayton.
Well, that's not even close. That one's not even close.
Oh, my gosh. Because,
shout out to my favorite wrestler ever. It was his birthday yesterday, and I've never met him. And I want to have lunch with him and meet him. My favorite all-time wrestler is Chad Zapital from Iowa.
Okay.
And Chad Zapital was a three-time runner-up for the Hawks, and he was fantastic. Teammates with the Brands in the early 90s. My favorite all-time guy was his birthday yesterday, so happy birthday, Chad. But, I took second place in high school, one time in high school.
Yeah.
And it did way more to me than it should have. Like, that just was I didn't handle that right. I cannot imagine. But I'll tell you this. I would also say this, I know it sucks to take second place, but I saw some idiots, and I try to stay off of social media as far as responding, but every now and then somebody says something that just like all of us kind of sucks you in, and some idiot put, Dayton Fix is the best collection of silver medals in the world or something like that. I'm just kind of like, you know what? It's like, how many do you have? Like, how many silver medals do you have? I mean, taking second place at the NCAAs, and I'm going to sound like the old man here, but it's like, hold your head up high. You got to be really good to do that. Like, yeah. Can you imagine ripping on Dayton Fix on Twitter? Like, really?
Yeah. No, I actually can't.
I'd punch that guy in the face.
Oh, my gosh. Let's go. Run it.
I mean, that's, don't say, I mean, seriously, don't say, I mean, that's the dumb tweet of 2022 so far.
Yeah.
Dumb tweet. That's an award you guys should have too. On the Flow Awards show at the end of the year, you should have dumb tweet of the year.
Dumbest tweet. Or the worst age tweet. I mean,
yeah.
The guy, so, you know, and you look back, he loses to Soriano in about as controversial a fashion you could recall. If two calls change this, and I don't know that I disagree with the one call, but he had Soriano completely broken down in tiebreakers with legs in and they stalemate it, which I said it at the time. They do that. They give the guy another effort to get out. And Soriano did, but he straight up pulled the headgear. Everyone saw it. They reviewed it. I mean, they were in a terrible position where they had to just basically decide the winner there. But at the end of it, you can't freaking pull the headgear for but anyway, so that was a disaster. And then, you know, he loses to Roman, which he's losing to Roman twice, but it was a pretty big upset for the first time he lost to him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, the guy's just, he's in tough weight classes. The guy's put it on the line a lot. He's won a lot of things. He's a junior world champ. And then, you know, he's made our team. He's made multiple senior world teams while still in college.
And so good.
Was a favorite to make one this year.
Fantastic. Now, I'm thinking about this. The last three-time finalist, was it, I'm just throwing stuff at the wall, was it Clark? Did Clark make three finals and win the third one?
He didn't make three.
Or not?
Yeah, he lost to Brewer, Nishan.
Okay, and then he won it.
Then he beat Seth Gross.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Right.
So I'm just trying to think of the last guy that was a runner-up twice. Obviously, fixed three times. Dwayne Goldman
Nico won his last crack. He was finals third champ.
What a career he had.
Yeah. He was good.
Dwayne Goldman, I'm guessing, is the last guy that went second, and then won it. But that's a long time ago.
Yeah. The thing for Dayton that you got to remember is he's got two more cracks.
Yep.
Right? And
that's right.
He's basically said, I'm not going to – he's like, I love this. I'm going to take all my eligibility. That's what he said at Worlds last year, and I would assume that wouldn't change. And so, you know, you can look ahead and say, well, even if he doesn't win this year, he'll have one more crack at it after Roman graduates. But I'm sure he wants to get it done. He has no interest in putting that off, but we can think that way. So,
but then the whole...
Oh my gosh! Well, yeah,
debate starts.
Should he have another crack at it? Should you know the fifth?
Is there an asterisk?
Yeah, I say no. Yeah,
if I'm dating Fix, maybe I win. You know, try to win it next year, and then who knows? Do what he wants. It's fun watching him wrestle.
I mean, he's also a guy who will be competing at the senior level
for sure.
After that, it's not a go and get a job. Wrestling it will be his job.
Yeah. Yeah, he's one guy I could never see because, you know, some guys, you know, they do their time and they college wrestle and then it's like, oh, but whatever happened to this guy or that guy? Like Dayton, you just know you're going to see Dayton around wrestling until we're old people.
Yes.
And probably in Oklahoma, specifically Stillwater, right? I can't imagine him in another color, right? No. He's just one of those guys. I mean, you think about different programs, even at Oklahoma State with all that tradition, and he hasn't won one yet, and you want to obviously be part of that club. But when I think about Dayton Fix, I think about Oklahoma State. Like that guy's, he's Oklahoma State.
Yeah, through and through for sure. Okay, so 65 for Iowa. What are, how are we thinking Kennedy is going to fare at this weight, which is going to be really tough. And yet, to follow up on a topic from yesterday about Quincy Monday, the thought from Princeton is that he likely will go 65 next year. Certify at 157, but likely wrestle at that weight. So
is Carr going 65 or is he staying at 57?
I believe he's going up.
Next year?
Carr's going up too.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. 57 is going to be
It's hard to go against the shiny Carr at 65.
I mean Keegan will be there.
What about Keegan O'Toole?
Oh, that's right.
Damn. We need to play this for Ben.
No kidding. Yeah. Wow.
Next week.
So, I mean, is it safe to say, 165, is that the best? I mean, you guys, I don't study this as much as this time of year as probably you guys do. I mean 65, the king of the mountain as far as weight class.
You'll
obviously,
you're going to have three really national big champions in one weight class. You could have Keegan, Griffith, and David Carr all at the same weight. Not to mention Amin, Hamidi, Karchla. Peyton Hall of West Virginia is a monster. This is a very, very good weight. Somehow Demetrius Romero still has eligibility. This guy wrestled for Boise State.
Yeah.
He wrestled for Boise State.
That is something.
Oh, but he's still at it. So.
God, what a weight class. I mean, that gets my heart pounding just thinking about it, getting to March and seeing those guys get after it. Man,
197 should have two national champions with Ferrari and Dean. But, three is possible with this one. Now, Now, does Griffith go up to 74? That's been like speculated about, but we haven't seen it. So if he went up to 74, that would give 174 three national champs with Carter, Sturaci, Mekhi Lewis, and Shane Griffith. Mm-hmm. So 65 or 74 will ultimately be the weight of weights.
It was 65 probably the weight to watch this year.
Yeah, I think so, because with Wick in the mix, and then you had, you know, Griffith was the returning champ, and then you can't, Marinelli didn't end up placing all that high, but he was definitely someone who was a bona fide title contender going into the year.
And Carson.
Carson Karchla, who beat him. Yeah, so yeah. Yeah, it was a great weight. Actually, you know, 41 maybe last year was, before they all got freaking hurt, was the weight as well. And also, we didn't know for a while what weight Yanni was going to go. Remember, that was a question, even in like November, December, is he going to be the 49 or 41? Mm-hmm. Imagine if it was Yanni, Nick Lee, Seabass, Jaden. Yeah, but it didn't really materialize like we thought at 141. But that weight coming into the year with Rivera, Nick Lee, and Ironman was really tough, and then it got blown up as weights at NCAAs tend to do. So how does Kennedy fit into this? This is going to be – it'll be tough for him to – he's going to have to beat like a Peyton Hall type to place in that top five. But I do think it's likely he places. I think there's a lot of people are going to have a hard time with his pace, hand fighting, et cetera. He's really elite. He's got a thing. He's got a very well-honed identity as a wrestler, and I think that'll serve him well.
I mean, it's kind of like the Marinelli thing. Like, you know, hand fight. You know the post-high C, post-double is coming, but can you stop it?
Can you? Unlikely.
Most couldn't.
Okay, so that's 65. Nelson Brands looks like the guy at 74.
Mm-hmm.
After he was out with an injury some last year.
Swofford got a mention, too.
Okay.
What would you say, JD?
Swofford got a mention, too, from Brands.
Okay.
So that'll be the wrestle off there. Brands would probably be my pick.
He's a favorite. He's another fringe All-American contender, I would say. 70, especially with...
Well, what Swofford was that? Was he a D2 national champ, D2 national finals,
three,
maybe?
D3 Graceland. Or wait, okay. No, they're NA. Are they NAI?
D3? I don't think it was D3. NAI. I could be. I'm just going off of memory. I thought he was a... Yeah, I could be wrong. So, he's good.
Yeah, and as you look at 74, Sturaci, Mekhi, Labriola, Plot, Lout, Smith, it's a really good top six. But then you go Mako, O'Malley, Ishins, Runyon, Ant-Man, DeVos. I can see Nelson wrestling a Mako or O'Malley to Ishins to some really competitive matches. So he definitely has All-American potential.
He's a guy I feel like will wrestle pretty much anybody tough,
mm-hmm.
But can he win the big match? He has to win,
yeah,
to break through and get on the podium. I don't know.
He might. I think he could place this year. I really.
Yeah,
don't.
I'd agree.
But I think he's got. I think his upside is definitely capped by the Sturaci, Lewis, Labriola types. I think him versus Plot would actually be a really fun match. I don't know how it would go.
Plot wrestles a lot of fun matches.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Plot's just kind of wide open, and Nelson is wide open, too. Nelson will give up tons of points in the name of scoring some more. So, looking forward to that. And then 84 through heavyweight is basically the same lineup for Iowa. Abe Assad, Jacob Warner, and Tony Cassiope round out the Hawkeye starters. So, that'll be interesting. Looking forward to watching the Hawks this year. Cool to get that insight from Coach Brands. JD, do you have any burning voicemails that you think would be good for Shane and I to hear?
Nah,
and our people?
Not today.
Not today?
Come on, JD.
It was low. People need to call in.
You got three in here, but not worth it, huh? So, JD, that's a challenge from JD. We lost our TV. We didn't pay our cable bill.
Oh, hell's breaking loose.
Yeah, what's happening?
No, those voicemails are the best. So people, give us, I'm here on Wednesdays. Next Wednesday, let's have a few.
Yeah.
Give us some hot takes.
The phone number is in the description, but I will say it for you all, 515-509-5071. That it doesn't have to be just a question. Sometimes we want your thoughts.
Yeah, give it, get a take out there.
Yeah.
So a guy with a hot take right now is Sebastian Rivera, who says,
I saw that on Twitter this morning.
All right, I feel like there's a Shane Sparks take here waiting to be had, but Sebastian Rivera said, I know no guy wants to admit this, but women's deodorant is a game changer. Never smelt better in my life.
I can't say I've ever.
It takes a real man. I mean, the
used women's deodorant.
I've never used it either. I would say, the advertising is strong enough for a man, but made for a woman. I think that's secrets.
Yeah. I've never done it. I've never done it, but I'm not going to not. I mean, maybe he's onto something. I mean, you got to smell good, man. You got to smell good.
Yeah, or at least not stink.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Ben says he doesn't get body odor at all and doesn't have to wear. He's never worn deodorant.
Really?
And his wife actually confirmed this. And his wife is a normal person, so I don't think she's lying about this. But yeah, he's like, no, I don't. One of the
many. It's Ben, artificial intelligence.
Yeah, Ben has so many oddities about him. It's like, yeah. Who's the? You actually believe it?
Yeah, I'm with you. I believe it too. Yeah. I believe it too.
Okay. Also, the odds for the hot dog eating contest on July 4th are out, Shane. I'm sure you've been glued to this. The over under is at 74 and a half hot dogs eaten by
what's his name, Jimmy
Joey Chestnut. Yeah,
Joey Chestnut. Okay, he's still Kobayashi's gone, right?
Gone. I mean,
he was the he's been gone.
Chestnut dethroned him some time ago. Yep.
Well, he got in that beef with like he can't compete at Nathan's.
Yeah.
So he could be a white whale. It could be a great white buffalo. We could never know.
I mean, well, Joey has beaten Kobayashi, as all our listeners know. We talk about this every year. But Joey, bad move from Kobayashi. There's only one hot dog contest that anyone would ever care about. You shouldn't alienate yourself from those people.
I mean, Chestnut's been doing this, over a decade, right? I mean,
oh, easily.
It's the only name I know of.
What is the food, Shane, that you would be most competitive in a competitive eating contest? I have my answer.
Goldfish would be mine. Yeah. So I'll show you guys. Give me literally 10 seconds. I'm going to give you the best combination there is. I'm going to show you this.
I can't believe he said goldfish. I was not ready for that. I was not ready for goldfish. The snack that smiles back. Okay.
Goldfish are kind of trash.
What? I love goldfish. I still, and even though I love them, Shane's gone. He's in his cupboard. I thought Shane's thing was wheat thins, but apparently it's
all
goldfish.
All right, so here's the combination, like the craziest food combination, but I eat this stuff pretty much daily. You got the goldfish. Normally I get the big, like, milk jug.
Yeah,
container.
I know what you're talking about. Well, you get that one.
But I got this, and then I put on the Frank's Red Hot Sauce. It's the best. So if I had to do a combination, I don't know how I got turned on to the buffalo sauce.
Uh-huh.
Probably it wasn't that long ago, maybe 2 years ago. But I eat it like cereal. Like, so I'll get done with this, put the goldfish in the bowl, pour on the Frank's. Makes you sweat a little bit. So that's my question right here. I would be the goldfish eating champion.
Yeah.
No doubt. How about you guys?
All right. Well, I could do one. I don't know why, but I feel like the goldfish taste better in those bags than they do in the other devices.
But it's got to be the regular cheddar. Like, I don't like the extra
don't
cheddar.
Don't flavor blast other, it. Yeah, I don't need it flavor blasted. This is the perfect ratio.
Yep.
Shane, you and I are aligned here. I would say Krispy Kreme donuts, just the glazed. Just plow through a dozen. No problem if I had to. Just in no time flat.
And those go down easy.
Easy.
The goldfish don't go down the easiest. But
hard
that's
work.
Why I'm the champ. But the glazed donuts.
Yeah, I'm taking
donuts,
I'm taking the path of least resistance. That, or honestly, I can eat sushi so fast, it's crazy. I
put down sushi.
I got sushi with my brother on when I was home this weekend, and I didn't even realize it, but I hadn't eaten that day, and I ate it so fast that they hadn't brought our whole order yet, and mine was gone. And the waiter got back and literally said, "Oh my gosh," because he couldn't believe I. And I wasn't even in my mind that I was eating it that I was even thinking. But yeah, so sushi and Krispy Kreme donuts for me. JD, I gotta hear this.
Mayo.
Mayo?
I'll eat spoonfuls of mayo.
You're gonna win that one by default because no one is gonna do this.
Wait, and you guys remember, so wrestling trivia here. When you hear mayo, what's the first thing you think about?
I think about what in terms of wrestling.
Yeah. Yep. One of the best lines ever said.
I think about Mike Zadick on the Iowa thing saying it sticks to your ribs.
Yeah, it sticks to your stomach.
Sticks. I remember he said that. That's so funny. Mike Zadick.
That was. I'll tell you what. Now, I need to go watch that again. The season that is so. You guys are a little younger than I am, JD, or heck, you could be my kid. But when you guys, I'm assuming, have seen Dan Gable competitor supreme, right?
Yeah.
JD, have you seen it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. I'm getting ready because it's getting to the point now where you're gonna ask kids, "Have you seen Dan Gable competitor supreme?" And they're gonna be like, "What are you talking about?" Yeah. Right? It's like, "What do you mean?" Because I mean that's. Hell, that came out when I was in high school, for God's sakes, early 90s. But Competitor Supreme is so great. And then, of course, the season. God, the guy that did the narrating in the season, so good. I'd love to meet that. I wonder what that guy is doing these days.
I guarantee he's not eating mayonnaise by the spoonful. I'll tell you that right now.
Mayo.
Cross that one off. Wow, I didn't think anything was going to top goldfish, but mayonnaise.
Oh man, mayo. Well, is...
What do you think? You got to find, your corner of the market.
Are you a strict Hellman's man, or are you like a Miracle Whip, the tangy
really
zip?
I don't really discriminate.
You'll eat any mayonnaise off the block.
I mean, JD, you eat mayo all the time. I mean, obviously you must like it.
Well, okay, right? I don't actually eat.
It kind of sounds like you might.
I would. I have.
Oh yeah, it's sticking.
Yeah, that's sticking. I'm telling you, the last time I had mayo.
I always do.
No idea.
I make a sandwich and I leave a little extra on the knife.
Oh,
clean it up.
My gosh. Okay. Just like brownie batter.
Yeah.
And Mike Zadick changed my life back in, I think that was 2000, 2001,
haven't
whatever
had mayo
it was.
Since.
not often. Yeah. Cause it's just such a, I mean, I need all the help I can get. And that's just, I mean, that's,
well, yeah, you get a little bit goldfish by the pound. I would cut that before I cut a little bit of mayo on your sandwich.
Mike Zadick.
What a beast.
So good.
Great elbow so off. Good. Okay.
I wonder how long his beard is right now.
I don't know.
Nobody has seen him in years.
Yeah, we need a Mike Zadick beard update. If anyone knows Mike, I'm assuming he's Montana.
Zadick, you guys, Mike Zadick, there's two guys. Now it's crazy how this all goes together. From the season, Mike Zadick is in there and Steve Mocco is in there.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest, both those guys scared the living you know what out of, like, certain people just kind of scare you. And I can't believe Mike Zadick is one of the best guys you'll ever meet. He's an awesome guy. Like, he's so, like, every time I talk to him, I'm always kind of like, God, I can't believe how nice this guy is. He's an awesome guy. And I'll give you another guy. I met Steve Mocco at the 2015 World Championships in Vegas. I couldn't believe how nice he was either.
Oh, yeah.
Just awesome.
That's
guy.
How most people are.
Yeah, Mocco is definitely a nice guy.
I mean, you see Steve Mocco in the season, and you're not overly interested in getting to know him, right?
No. No, sir.
Yeah, he's awesome.
So I kicked him in his ass. Great
guy. Yeah. He's down in what, Florida, Mocco, doing like he's an MMA, runs an MMA gym or
coach,
part
yeah.
of one.
Yep.
Steve
yep.
Mocco was, God, you think about some of the great matchups back in the day. I mean, Mocco and Conrad,
yeah,
God, no love lost between those two. Like, those were, God, those were fun matches.
Definitely some battles there for sure. Okay, I think maybe the last time I talked to Mike Zadick, he yelled at me for not picking enough Hokies to win. He said I didn't like Virginia Tech, which hurt me to my core. Obviously, knowing the actual truth,
The best beard in wrestling? I mean, obviously Kyle Klingman's is going to be Klingman's the guy to beat.
I don't know. I mean, it's all in what do you value. You know, if you like a neatly trimmed, you know, Bob Vila type Klingman. Of situation, okay, that's one. But, you know, if you like a wild, unencumbered beard, it's going to be Mike Zadik.
Unencumbered? Where did you pull that one from?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I honestly, most any of my vocabulary words that I guarantee were like one of my 11th grade vocab words, and I just had a way to hang on to them, but I don't think I've added any other words in my repertoire.
I'm breaking that into a Big Ten broadcast this season.
Okay, do it.
Unencumbered. That's fantastic.
Yes. Please do.
JD's mustache, would you say that's unencumbered, or I mean, what are you?
No, it's pretty well defined. It's okay. It's not unruly.
Okay.
It's good structure, good shape. Okay, what is Shane's favorite Hall & Oates song? Asks Lefty Strat 5.
Jeez, that's a great that's a hard one. That's a hard one. And right now, for whatever reason, I'm having like a complete just. Here, one second. I'll tell you what it is.
Oh my gosh, he's gonna pull. He's gonna pull out a 45.
She's gone. Yeah, that's what it is.
I don't even honestly. The only Hall & Oates song I know is the "You Make My Dreams Come True" song. I don't
probably know Rich Girl.
Okay, maybe so.
Guys, on the entertainment front, last night I went to see Elvis. Good movie. Or whatever. I don't even know what the name is, Elvis, but it's on Elvis. It's good.
I think it's called Elvis.
239, a little long, but very good. Very good.
Okay,
have you guys seen, I'm assuming you guys have seen Maverick. Have you guys both seen that?
No, listen to this. Friday. Listen.
You guys better be going.
You know, on Friday, Flo is renting out a theater for us to go and watch it.
I saw that. Yes.
So I'm going.
It's really good. It's not as good as the first one, but it's good. But Elvis was really good.
I heard Tom Hanks looked ridiculous in the fat suit.
He wore a fat suit?
Yeah.
Why does he wear a fat suit?
Because the guy is fat.
He's just
the
character he plays.
Oh. I was thinking in Top Gun.
Oh, no. In Elvis.
I was like, why would he wear a fat? That makes sense for a freaking fighter pilot. I didn't realize he was in the Elvis movie. He played he wore a fat suit in Tropic Thunder. Have you seen that movie, Shane?
I have not.
Oh my gosh.
Tropic Thunder.
It's absurd.
Your favorite Tom Hanks movie? I mean, because last night I'm sitting there watching it. I mean, he's been in so I mean, I remember going to the theater in Ripon, Wisconsin, and I want to say 1986 as a fifth grader watching Big. Where he's like dancing on the big piano.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a long time ago. But best movie, in my opinion, has got to be Castaway.
I was going to say Toy Story.
It's Forrest Gump.
Toy Story's good. Guys, let me ask you this. You guys got to be a little vulnerable with me on this one here, okay? You got to be vulnerable, okay?
All right.
I'll start. So I'll put my skin in the game right away.
We're going to talk about crying really quick.
I don't know if I can get through the movie Castaway without getting choked up, and I've probably seen it 20 times. That movie, there's two movies that choke me up no matter what. Castaway chokes me up, and then A League of Their Own at the very end. I couldn't get through A League of Their Own. I don't think I've ever done it. It gets me every time.
Man, I haven't watched A League of Their Own since I was probably under 10 years old, so I don't even remember.
That movie is it's one of my favorite baseball movies. It's so good.
Really?
Lot to that movie.
What are
the tearjerkers for you guys?
What is a sad movie? I thought the movie John Q, I don't know why, just like a dad. Have you seen that one, Shane?
I have not.
Oh my gosh. You'll love John Q. Denzel, his son needs this crazy, has this heart condition. I won't even say anything else. It's
okay.
It is extremely good. Probably one of Denzel's best performances, in my opinion.
Okay.
Very good movie. I'm trying to think. What have I watched recently? I don't know. I'll try to come up with something for next week. JD doesn't cry.
That's right.
I'll bet. Oh, come on, JD. What did you say?
I said he doesn't cry. He goes, that's right.
Never once.
Doesn't even know how.
You never cried during a movie, JD?
I've never cried, period. Ask my mother.
Call your mom right now. Call your mom right now.
In all my time on this podcast, the best thing I've ever heard was, I never cry, period.
I never cry, period. Ask my mother.
I said it was a phenomenon.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Oh,
that's great. Jamie, I can see the second you were born, I can just see it. Second you were born, you know, most babies start crying, whatever. Not JD, just staring at the doctor, just staring
like,
at him.
Fist bumps the doc. He's like, this worked. Thanks, doc.
And the mustache was already, you could see just, it was already coming through a little bit, you know. You were probably one of those guys, JD, had the facial hair at what, 9 years old, maybe?
No, I was a normal high school kid.
It's all that mayonnaise. Makes your hair
sticks to your ribs, but it puts hair on your chest.
Yeah. That's a good point. Okay. I think we can call it. I think we did the show.
No way.
Oh, man. Shane's just getting.
We did have.
This has been fun.
We got a text. We got a text from JD's mom.
No, from a listener. And I want to get Shane's take on this because I think we've talked about it. But it said, the new eligibility rules surrounding true freshmen allows them to wrestle 5 matches without burning the redshirt. Kale Sanderson never lost during his NCAA competitive years, but did during his redshirt year. In your opinion, would a freshman who goes undefeated for 4 consecutive NCAA seasons, their seasons, and wins, but loses one of their 5 matches that they wrestle, how are they viewed?
Compared to Kale.
Yes.
Yeah, because Kale lost, and I should know his name. I know that he was from Iowa, and unfortunately, I know he passed away.
Yeah, Paul Jen,
there you go. Yeah.
So, you go ahead, Shane.
I mean, it's a loss, right? I mean, I've always thought in these debates. Correct me if I'm wrong. Kyle Dake never redshirted, correct?
Correct.
And he didn't take a year off, right? I mean, he went senior year of high school to winning an NCAA title, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Correct.
I've always thought one of the, at least for me, if you were ever to argue, I mean, I just, Kyle Dake's career, winning it as a true freshman at 141, like.
So
told me you thought Kyle Dake's career was better than Kale Sanderson's, you would not hear much of a debate from me.
I think you should, because I think had Dake run the table sophomore through senior year, I think so, because then you could say, okay, well, he didn't get the red shirt. Yes, Yanni style, you could say. But I think him taking losses to Vincent and Kevin LaValle as a sophomore, I think the whole point of Kale is just like it was impeccable. It was start to finish impeccable, and it was start to finish dominant. Right? He beat people so badly every single year he was in college. He killed everyone he wrestled. He very, very rarely was in competitive matches, much less lost any of them. So for that reason, I think the argument for Dake is he beat David Taylor. He bumped up. No red shirt. But that,
I mean,
many,
look at the years he won. I mean, 41, 49, 57, 60. I mean, that is the, man, I mean, those are the top weights.
And I think what is interesting, like the fact that he changed weights is not as, doesn't like blow me away, just like as much as the different kinds of styles you have to navigate for those weight class. Like a 165 pounder is a completely different challenge from a 141 pounder. If you watch those NCAA finals, they're very different stylistically. Like, what he did, we'll never see anything. I don't think we'll see anything like that.
Yeah, I think, I mean, like I said, I'm just saying, if somebody said to me, hey, whose career impressed you most, Dake or Sanderson? If somebody said, I mean, you could have either one of them, I wouldn't argue either one of them. Yeah. I just don't think, and I'd like to see the stats on this, and Kale will never know. Chances are he would have, you know, who won the year that he redshirted? I don't know. You know?
Not,
I mean, I'd be curious to go back and see. I mean, I have no idea. But the point being is, I'd like to see the stats of true freshman, and now it's changing a little bit just because these guys are so good, but true freshman, that All-American, it's not, it can't be a ton. It's got to be, I mean, that, to me, winning it as a true freshman is substantial. I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, that's huge compared to, I'm not taking anything away from anybody, but what Kyle Dake did, I think, I just don't think it gets enough. I don't think it gets enough credit. And I know it gets a lot. I just don't think it gets enough. That is
just saying that.
Then you look at the guys he beat, like, man.
So Lee Fullhart won 190. Went from 77 to 190. So that probably would have been his weight. And then the weights changed, I think, the next year.
And I don't remember. I mean, Lee Fullhart was a bad, bad dude. And I know Fullhart and Sanderson, I think, had some real battles to make that Olympic team.
Yeah.
So I don't remember how. I guess my point being is when you say the name Lee Fullhart on the surface, and again, I don't know. I'm just saying what my perception is when I hear you say Lee Fullhart. My first reaction is, okay, that's not a gimme that he wins it. Not that it would be with anybody, but Lee Fullhart was bad. He was next level bad dude, Lee Fullhart.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah.
He wrestled Cale Tough, but total hypothetical because we don't know. But I think the trump card is never losing in dominance for me. It's like he destroyed everyone for four straight years in a way we haven't seen.
Well, I don't know how we started talking about Kyle Dake, but to bring back to the original question, say someone does that, but they take a loss on their official record because it's one of their five matches.
I view it
identically to Cale losing as a redshirt. I was like, okay, yeah, fine. He had a loss there, but like the 4 years you have, like you kind of judge it based on that. You don't.
But these will be official matches, correct?
They're all. What makes them not official? What made
the fact that Cale says he's 159-0?
Well, he is. He is 159.
Yeah, but now here's someone my question, Christian.
Could go 159.
Guys, listen to this. So my question is, if you now, so when Cale was 159-0, when his redshirt season didn't count towards his official record, do these matches now with the new rule, are these official matches? I would think they are. They got to be official because it's going to be during an official duel.
If you're wrestling attached, like for in a duel, it will go on your official record.
So if you lose one time as a true freshman in a duel meet, you lost.
Yes.
They're all official. They're all official. I mean,
they're not, because Cale's 159-0.
But they all have the ability. Like, if they had pulled his redshirt at the end of the year, then that match gets pulled in.
Yeah, but they didn't.
I know, but they didn't. So, no, that doesn't count. Does not count against the – you get your 4 years to do whatever you're going to do, right?
I disagree, Christian. I will say this. They pull you out of red shirt and you get beaten to duel. If let's just say this happens. You got Iowa and Illinois. And Iowa pulls a kid out, whoever it might be, and he loses in that duel meet. That's a loss. It's a loss on your record. You are not undefeated in college anymore. You can't be. You can't.
He wasn't undefeated in college. He wasn't undefeated in college. He was undefeated for his varsity career, whatever you want to call it.
No, you wouldn't be, though. If you wrestle as a true freshman in a dual meet and you get beat, you have a loss on your record, period, end of story.
Nah.
Listen, try and can't count it close.
Christian, how could you not? It's an official match in a dual meet.
Because it's an
official match. It's there forever. You go back to a box score in 100 years to Iowa, Illinois in January of 2023. You lost.
That's the thing. Whether right or wrong, it will be viewed that way. Because
the key here is you are attached. You're attached. If you're attached, it counts.
Disagree.
Because like Shane is saying, in 50, 100 years, nobody hardly will say, yes, but that was their true freshman year. They will see the one. They will see the 159-1.
The 4 years
compared to the 159-0.
You're not even giving him his wins his redshirt year. You're just saying 159-1. That's not right either.
He wasn't attached. because he wasn't attached in those matches. That's the key here. It's, are you attached? If you're attached.
See, that is such a semantic. That is so pointless. That changes.
I understand.
Attached, not attached. But there's no difference. They're college matches. It's all the same to me.
Okay, so Christian, I'm reasonable. I'll make a deal. You know what? I'll agree with you. So with that being said, Kale's got a loss. I'm okay playing it the way you want to play it. I'm fine. I'm fine with that.
He went undefeated in his 4 years. The 4 years he was supposed to not lose, he didn't lose. That's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, so you know what the cool thing is for wrestling fans? If you are a 12-year-old kid right now, or 15-year-old kid, whatever, you can still, because it's always like, you know, Kale, obviously 159, you know, whatever, but there's still, I mean, we're talking a sliver of meat on the bone to one up Kale. So it's never been done. I mean, it's never been done where somebody's been undefeated in their college career, right? It's never happened.
Yeah, I guess not.
It probably has.
It probably has.
Wasn't not there somebody one?
From Oklahoma State? Utaki? Yeah. What was his record?
But he only wrestled 3 seasons.
I should say that. Yeah, okay. Undefeated in a college, undefeated in a Division I college career with 4 national titles.
Yeah.
Never. I don't believe that's ever been done. So if you're some 13-year-old out there, whatever you are, you can still – there's still – Kale can be dethroned.
Yeah, you can do it as a true freshman.
Yeah. I mean –
yep.
Yeah, the interesting conversation is if
you know what, guys,
take that loss
in my lifetime, do you think we'll see it in our lifetime?
No.
True freshman? No. I'll never say never on this one.
Well, I'm not going to say never, but if I have to put my money somewhere.
I wouldn't bet on it, obviously. Odds would be – I mean, it would be
– Yeah, I don't
impossible,
think
it.
But
I bet it happens at some point.
It's crazy how
good
these people are.
But you know what? All right, here's what's not going to happen. Here's what I will definitively say. No one is ever going to hit 159 matches.
Yeah, you're probably right on that.
It's like they don't wrestle that. Yeah. I mean, honestly, 120, I'd be like, wow.
Yeah,
that would surprise me.
Tough to 100. 100's kind of that. You get to 100 wins in a career right now, you know, if you have 4 years of eligibility when everything's normal – That's a lot of guys don't get 25 matches a year.
Well, anymore, that's the case.
Yeah.
I think even 10 years ago was way more common. Now it's like.
Yeah. Kale averaging 40 wins a year, basically. That's incredible.
Yep. So we'll never see that, in my opinion, because no one's wrestling that much.
Nothing beats a good wrestling debate, man.
You're right.
Good stuff.
You're right. Okay. Let's get out of here. Been a fun one. Always great having Shane on the show. We will be back tomorrow. Ben will be back. You will not be here.
I'm out.
He's going.
What are you doing, JD? Out vacation?
I got a wedding. I'm headed to Omaha, Nebraska.
Nice. Well, you guys have a great 4th. Everybody have a great 4th.
Heck yeah. Happy 4th of July. Go eat 75 hot dogs. You could be the greatest. You could beat Joey Chestnut. That's all you have to do. 75 hot dogs in like 12 minutes. No problem. Go eat some goldfish, some mayonnaise, whatever it is you do over the weekend. You know what? It's America. You can eat mayonnaise by the spoonful. One of the great, great pleasures for JD. Thanks so much for listening. We will see you tomorrow morning, bright and early with Ben. He'll be back. See you guys. Thanks.